So. And talking about Thanksgiving, I don't think our governor has put a cap on how many people can gather up, but I saw some states are saying 8, 10 on Facebook. I've seen a couple of memes of, cop cars and coming through and say, you bought a turkey that can feed 25 people. Oh, no. And, Zach, can you give that door a shove, please? Thank you. And, Thanksgiving is just one of those things to gather. We always think about family, and I know, my family's all out west, and we haven't been Thanksgiving out there in a long time. But we usually line up with Cindy's mom and side of the family to get together. It's always just a good time, just a touch base. And we're all so busy in life that it's great for this opportunity to kind of pause and get together and eat. Right? I mean, that's, stuffing is like my all-time favorite. And I know there's a debate, do you put it in the bird or not in the bird? You gotta put it in the bird. I know that, you risk life and limb, but I'd rather die with stuffing. Die happy, I mean, I don't know. I was talking to someone, and, they do a tofu stuffing. They said, you'll live longer. Yeah, but you're miserable. I'd rather, let me die with a smile on my face, And so, my job is to cut up the turkey, and so I always try to grab a little bit of the crunchy stuff that's out of the, anyways, I'm getting hungry. All right. I didn't have breakfast this morning. But what a great opportunity, to talk and to give thanks. And I know this year there's a lot of different plans. I've talked to a few folks that aren't getting together with family because of this COVID situation. And already, I think so many people are so isolated. Do pray for each other, because I real fear during this holiday season there's going to be real difficulty mental health-wise for a lot of people who are feeling isolated above everything else. But I want to really stop and think of, Thanksgiving about a pausing that our cups are overflowing. And the overflowing that we have are the blessings, and it's so easy to focus on what we don't have. And we lose track of all the things that we do have. And Thanksgiving is just one of those things, to get together, gather up, and just enjoy family. To stop. And, we're so busy today in our society, or the roads around us are so busy that we don't take that time to stop. And Thanksgiving is just one of those. And to me, I get sort of saddened because, we hit Halloween, and Halloween is a good commercial holiday because you got to buy costumes, you got to buy candy, right? So the industry pushes that, and then, and now we're into Christmas. And Christmas is a good commercial holiday, too, so all these things to buy. So as a society, Thanksgiving just seems to be so passed over. And I think it's a shame, because I think as a nation, we really need to stop and reflect and be thankful. Now, one of the memories I had as being a kid was, we would fight over the turkey leg. And we would have, we had four boys, and the turkey only had two legs. And so we would have a rolling thing of who would get him every year. And we all knew it was my year to get the leg. And I always felt like, King Henry just chewing away and eating this. And, my mom would not let us do this any time of the year except for Thanksgiving. And to stop and think, you guys know my mom had a heart attack just a few weeks ago. And she's well, and I appreciate your prayers, and she's home. And my brother said something to me. She goes, well, John, he goes, you realize, mom's 77. And he goes, I don't know how many more Thanksgivings she's going to have. And that really kind of hit me. You know, usually we try to go out there once a year to see her. I said, well, I said, even if we go out once a year, I mean, I'm not pushing her into the grave. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, boys, overall, I'm not going to have that many more years to see my mom. And that kind of puts things in perspective a little bit. And so I wanted to, you know, really kind of focus on this Thanksgiving of not just being thankful, but really appreciate what we have. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 starts off his letters, and Paul often starts his letters this way. But he writes this, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterances and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He starts this off, I'm so thankful for you. This idea of Thanksgiving, and oftentimes, especially as a kid, you know, what are you thankful for? It's a lot of stuff. You know, I'm thankful for my toy. I'm thankful for my cat. You know, I'm thankful, you know, and they tend to focus on a lot of things. And things haven't changed over the years. You know, we've asked our daughter for a list of things she wants for Christmas, and she has no problem with coming up with a list of things. Right? I'm like, oh, kid, you know? And which I was no different. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Sears catalog as a kid. Anyone else remember? And we looked so forward to the Sears catalog. And we would go and subtly circle things. So our parents would casually go through it and find out all the stuff that we wanted, right? You know, we were sneaky. You know, we'd tear out pages and leave it places. And but I'm finding the older I get, the less, you know, because I have stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like more stuff. I like stuff with blinky lights and, you know, gizmos and gadgets and... But as I'm getting older, the more I realize the things I'm most thankful for aren't things. They're people. And like I said, the Apostle Paul starts this off and says, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for you. And be thankful for the people in our lives. And oftentimes... You know, the people that are closest are kind of the ones that kind of irritate us the most. But I think it goes down to some of that commonality. You know, my kids, my spouse, drive me nuts. But where would I be without them? Yeah, you know, I had an opportunity to do a radio interview talking about the church, and I'm thankful for the church body that we have. And that we're in this together, and through good times and through bad. That we have a family of God that is willing to be there for each other. That's an amazing thing. You know, years ago I had a chance to talk to a gentleman, and he got caught up in a sin and it became public. And we were talking and he goes, I'm tempted to leave. He goes, a bunch of people in the church know about, you know, this issue. And he goes, I think I'm going to leave and go somewhere else where no one knows. And I asked him, I said, well, I can't tie you to the pew. I can't make you stay. I said, but would you rather go to a place where no one knows you? Or would you rather go to a place where people know you, know your shortcomings, and love you anyways? I said, that's a powerful thing. You know, we can love each other, warts and all. And I'm thankful for you. as we see these things, the things to be thankful for are really the people. You know, we've said a lot of goodbyes this year. Over the last couple of years, many in this own congregation, we've gone home to be with the Lord. And we won't have that opportunity to see them again until we get to glory. And that just reminds me, I need to be appreciative for the people that we have right next to us, right around us, while we still have them. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Second thing I think what Paul talks about in these verses is take time to speak thanks. That's probably not proper English, but hopefully I'll be clear what I mean. He goes on here in 1 Corinthians, says that you are enriched in everything by him, in all utterances, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. With all utterances. Take time not just to be thankful, but to say you're thankful. Tell people, you know what, I appreciate you. It doesn't really cost anything, but it's amazing how much that can mean to someone. I mean, today we have so many modes of communication that we just have really no excuse for letting time go by. Right? We can email, we can text, we have voicemail, we have Zoom. You know? We have all these ways. Letters. You know, the U.S. Postal Service still does work. Face to face. 6 feet apart, of course. But to really stop and take the opportunity to be thankful and to say it. To share. You know, I give you guys an opportunity to say something you're thankful for. It does the heart good to let it come out of our mouths to hear it. Because oftentimes the people around us, you know, we act like we're going to be around forever. We're not guaranteed that. You know, spouses let resentment build up. My kids, I'm easy to criticize. Much more I am to build up. Remember John Maddox? And he always reminded me, he goes, it's just as easy to build someone up as it is to tear them down. Just stop and say thank you to someone. For even small things. And it's interesting because that starts changing my heart. Not as it good for the person. You know? I told you during this whole COVID thing, I've gotten much more vocal talking to the cashiers and talking to the person who's stocking the shelves and just saying thank you. And it's funny, kind of the looks on their face, you know, because they're not used to hearing that. I had one lady says, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to, you know, I'm just doing what I'm paid to do. Well, thank you for doing it. You know? And lastly, here we see in 1 Corinthians, be thankful for what lays ahead. He wraps this up here in verse 9. He says, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You know, we talk about what's going on today, and we feel like this is what it's going to be like forever. I do cringe because people are like, oh, the masks and all this. Oh, this is the new normal. Oh, no. I don't know about you, but I don't like this new normal. No. I'm going to go back to the old normal. You know? I want to be able to cough in public without being afraid I'm going to be railroaded out of town. You know that, right? You know, we were in Walmart and I sneezed. Which is horrible, you know. It's, you know, then your mask goes, you know, you puffs out, and then people just look at you like, ah, "It It's just a sneeze. I'm okay. But we tend to feel like the season that we're in is going to last forever. This is how life's always going to be, and that's not the case. This too shall pass, and I mean, I don't know what the next season is going to hold. You know, excited to hear there's a vaccine, and hopefully that will distribute well, and hopefully that will take sort of the craziness out of the whole system. You know, next year the election should be decided. Something's going to happen. And hopefully some of those things will be in a new season in life. And that season will have its own difficulties and it'll have its own struggles. I mean, right? I don't think any season's easier than any other. You know, I was talking to a parent and they have a little baby and they're exhausted. And I go, "Oh, we're not sleeping." I said, "Don't worry, this will pass." And then they'll become three-year-olds. They said, "Well, is it easier? It's different," right? I saw someone post on there, you know the books, What to Expect to Expecting? They said they need to come out with a What to Expect 17 years after you expected, right? Each season has a new challenge along the way. But as Christians, you know, so many times over the past couple months, we've been talking about the Lord coming back. You know, this summer, I've done 6 funerals this summer. But with each one is that hope that we get to see them again. And as Christians, folks, the last chapter of our life is already written. I know how my life ends. And it's good. That in here, I have a mansion just over the hilltop. That in you, there's streets of gold, there's no more sickness, no more tears, no more goodbyes. That all these things in this world are going to fade away. And so in here, while I'm in this chapter that I'm in now, I can look ahead and know a better day is ahead. And I can be thankful. But folks, there are really hindrances in our lives to God's blessings. And these are just real simple things. As we come into this Thanksgiving season, to take away some of the blockages that we can really enjoy God's blessings in our lives. The first one is, folks, our cups are already full. We talk about God's blessing on us. They say, "God, where's your blessing?" Folks, God has already given us so much. So much more than we deserve. And we take it for granted. And this really kind of opened my eyes, you know, especially when I got kids. Because my kids have more stuff than I had when I was a kid. I mean, it was, right? And they still complain they don't have anything. Well, I can go to the fridge and open it up, and the fridge is full. And you know, when I open up, I got the munchies. You open it up, you know, the first thing in my mouth is, "Hey, we got nothing to eat." Right? The fridge is full. Book of Ephesians tells us, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thankful for all that we have. And what happens is we become people who are looking at the glass half empty instead of half full. We look at all the things that we don't have and we become miserable. And I say, "God, where's your blessing?" And God's like, "It's there." And I'm looking at what he hasn't given me instead of what he has given me. Paul told the Philippians, he goes, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry and both to abound and to suffer in need." He carries this thought further in 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and any foolish and harmful lust which drown men in destruction and perdition. Godly contentment. Lord, help me to be thankful for what you have given me, because we have way more than we deserve. How do I know that? Because you know what? We don't deserve anything. We don't. We don't deserve any of God's blessing, and yet he pours it on us. And we have clothes, we have food and clothing. There we go. Right? We have all these things. So much so that most of us don't know where to put all our stuff. Maybe pack it in closets and drawers, under the bed. You know, I got more than enough to eat. I mean, look at me, right? God is good. And I dare not start complaining. Without looking at what God has given me first. Start looking at those things. And in here, choose to be thankful for all the blessings. Because God has richly us. Years ago, I had a chance to go down to Ecuador on a mission trip. And that really opened my eyes, because we got down into the third world country, and there are literally people who have nothing. And realizing all that I had. All the security I have. All these things from the hand of God. And I kind of become a spoiled little brat. And I'm like, God bless me. God bless me. And God says, I have been. So be thankful for what we have and not so focused on what we don't. Second thing is selfishness. Selfishness. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. It's interesting because here we have this illustration of give and it will be given back to you. Right? We turn around and say, God bless me and I get it and I have it all. It's mine, mine, mine. God didn't give us these blessings for us to hoard for ourselves, but often for us to be used it for a blessing to other people. Our time, our energy, all these things can be used for other people. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, and as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Folks, the blessings God has given us aren't just for us, but for us to share and be a blessing to someone else. And it's amazing what happens when you do that. You know, you go out and, praise the Lord, I mean, a church here in Stockton Springs had 93 kids will be blessed. And I'll never see this kid, maybe in glory. But I'll tell you, fill up that box up and being excited over what goes in the box and seal it up and send it off. You know what? That did me good. And God is able to use some of the blessings I had to pass it on. Right? Martin shared this morning, he goes, you know, go picking up John. And I love how he put this, he goes, what? Martin says, he received the blessing. Right? Martin gave the time and energy and all these things, and yet he's the one who got blessed. See how this works? That we're to share all these things with others, and we get blessed in the process. Folks, I think we hinder God's blessing because we're using it all for our selfishness. Folks, if we give of ourselves, God will refill us back up. Right? And this is a biblical principle. You want to be great in God's kingdom? What? Become a servant. You want to have? Let go. And as I serve, as I minister, I do all these things for others. Folks, then we get it back. Now, we don't do it to get it back. But folks, that's how it works. And the last thing that sort of hinders ourselves from getting God's blessing is, folks, we need to humble ourselves. James tells us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Folks, sometimes we are just too full of ourselves. And God has to humble us. Lord, I need you. Right? Lord, I'm thankful because all that I have came from you. All these things change our mentalities. It's easy to say, look what I've done, and I've deserved it. I've earned it. I spend it on myself. I use it on myself. All these things become very self-centered. And God says, humble yourself. It's an interesting thing, once we do this, as we humble ourselves, God will pour open his blessings onto us. The book of 2 Kings is an interesting account. I'll just go ahead and read this. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because he, the Lord, has given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Here Naaman was this great man, of great prestige, great wealth. He had it all, but he was a leper. And he sought out all these cures for leprosy. And one of his servants said to him, hey, there's a guy, Elisha, down in Israel. Why don't you go down and talk to him? He can do great miracles. So Naaman gets into his fancy chariot and rides on down. He's got his entourage. He goes, you know who I am. And he gets down to Elisha's house and knocks on the door. And this little servant comes out and says, yes. And Naaman's like, hey, I am Naaman. I am the great. And I am here to talk to the prophet of God. And the servant goes back inside. And Naaman, you know, being important, expected Elisha to come back out. And the servant came out again. And he says, oh, well, he said, go down to the Jordan River and go dunk yourself 7 times. And the servant turned around and went back in. And Naaman's like, because you realize who I am. I came all this way. I expect to talk to the prophet face to face. And the servant was like, well, Elisha said he's busy right now, and this is what you need to do. It's kind of a paraphrase. And Naaman got all huffy. Do you know who I am? Hold on. Servant comes back and goes, yeah, he does. And Naaman's pride was hurt. He says, get in the chariot, we're going home. And dunk 7 times in the Jordan River. Do you realize how dirty the Jordan was? And the Jordan was very filthy. He goes, there's better streams up where I live. You want me to go down to the dirty water and dunk myself 7 times? Verse 13 tells us, and his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says you wash and be clean? And the servant said, look, I know you're a great man. You got all this greatness. You have all these things. If he told you to do some grand thing, give and do all this, you'd do it because it'd be all about you. But you weren't willing to humble yourself. I didn't even thought about that. I said, all right, driver, take a left. They headed down to the Jordan River, and Naaman took off his robe, got down in that dirty water. This is dumb. Dude, I can't believe I'm doing this. The Bible says the seventh time he came up and leprosy was gone. Folks, Naaman would have missed a blessing because of his pride. Folks, in this life, God will ask us to go and ask us to do and ask us to serve, ask us to do all these things. And folks, if we are his servants and say, you know what, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll humble myself. I'll serve the least. I'll do things when no one's looking. Oftentimes, that's where we find these blessings. But we can get so stuck on ourselves. And I'm not going to stoop down. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give up. I'm not. Folks, if we cannot make it about us, oftentimes what we do is open up the spigots to God's blessings in our lives. You know, and God wrote these things knowing we'd be in a COVID world. He knew things would be hard and things would be difficult. But folks, God's blessings are all around us. We have much to be thankful for. As long as we don't focus on the half-empty stuff. Right? As long as we're willing to humble ourselves. And Lord, look at others and serve. I mean, this Thanksgiving is probably going to be one not like many others we've had. Actually, I was listening to some of the commentators and talk about in some states, they're making it very difficult and, you know, saying, oh, we're canceling Thanksgiving. Folks, you cannot cancel a thankful heart. You can't. Because being thankful isn't about the turkey, which I'm thankful for. I like turkey. You ham people, I don't know, I'll pray for you. You know, turkey, stuffing, green bean casserole, the jelly cranberry sauce. Okay, I'll be thankful for that. It just makes a weird noise when it comes out of the can. I don't know. But folks, those are all superficial things. Folks, our cups are already filled, overflowing. We just gotta look at the right stuff. And chances are that right stuff isn't stuff at all. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Truly, Lord, we humble ourselves and truly are thankful for those around us you've brought into our lives, the interactions we can have each day. Lord, we thank you for your blessings as well. Lord, you have blessed us beyond what we deserve. Lord, I pray this week, but every day, we'll pause and be thankful. We ask this in your name.